Let us pray for inspiration from and awareness of God's Spirit. In your word and through your Spirit, show us your ways, O God. Teach us your paths. Guide us in your truth and teach us, for you are God our Savior, and our hope is in you all day long. In Jesus' name, amen. Think you've gotten the theme for the day? In trying to choose music for this day, let me tell you, for Psalm 100, there is an embarrassment of riches. We could have a hymn sing probably for 3 hours. We're not, but we could. Here again, hear the words of Psalm 100. Listen for the word of God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all of the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is God that made us, and we belong to God. We are God's people and the sheep of God's pasture. Enter into God's gates with thanksgiving and with the courts with praise. Give thanks to God. Bless God's name. For the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever, and God's faithfulness to all generations. As Susan mentioned, for the next 5 weeks in worship, we will focus on scriptures from the great songbook of the Bible, the Psalms. It's been my experience in the church that Psalms are rarely used as a basis for preaching. They're often used in worship, but usually as a call to worship or crafted into a prayer or for a beautiful musical anthem. 2 summers ago, I preached from the Psalms for several weeks, but haven't done so since then. We often skip the beautiful poetry in favor of the stories of the Old and New Testament. But there is a wealth of beautiful imagery and metaphor in the Psalms. There is, as Susan said, every emotion expressed. The Psalms give full expression to what it means to be human. They give expression to our relationship to the world and to our God. Martin Luther said the Psalms might well be called a little Bible. In it, it is comprehended most beautifully and briefly everything that is in the entire Bible. The ancient theologian Athanasius has said about the Psalms that in the words of this book of the whole of human life, its basic spiritual conduct, as well its occasional movements and thoughts, is comprehended and contained. Nothing to be found in human life is omitted. The Psalms are the words given us by God to put on our own tongues to live the life of faith. Some of the Psalms we'll hear over the next several weeks will be familiar, perhaps even some favorites, and others may be completely new. Some may resonate with you and some may not, or perhaps one may resonate with you in a different way than before. The songs may affect you in surprising or unexpected ways. They may be like old friends or the comfort of a well-worn blanket. When I was in my final year of seminary, I was an intern at the Presbyterian Homes Retirement Community. This was a large place that had many residents that ranged from independent living to full 24-hour care. I was there for about 9 months, and I had a variety of responsibilities, both in the independent housing and with residents who required round-the-clock care. I learned a lot during my time there, and I got to interact with some amazing people. And 2 memories stick out for me from that time. The first is during a worship service that I helped lead in the 24-hour care facility. We would have chapel about once a week, often inviting a local church to come in and lead the service. On those occasions, we would bring residents down to the activity room, mostly in their wheelchairs. Sometimes we would roll their beds in, and the local church would lead all aspects of the service. And there was very little interaction between the residents and those leading. But on the occasion where we didn't have a local church leading the service, the chaplain of the facility, Janet, and I would be responsible for leading. Janet's mom was a resident at the retirement community and was in the 24-hour care facility. Janet's mom didn't talk much and was fairly non-responsive, and her memory was very inconsistent because of dementia. At the time, I don't recall ever hearing a word come out of her mouth. On this particular day, when Janet and I were leading the worship service, Janet rolled her mother's wheelchair up to the piano, set an old worn copy of a hymnal in front of her. Janet opened the hymnal and her mother took a look at the page and then began to play. And albeit in a feeble voice, she began to sing as well. She did this for several hymns. I learned later that day that Janet's mom had been the church organist and a choir director. The songs were in her bones. They were a part of who she was. The other memory I hold dear also dealt with music. This time, I was in the facility for independent and assisted living residents. We had gathered in one of the activity rooms and were discussing favorite music, and I had brought along a boombox. Remember those? Huge. I brought along my boombox and several CDs. I had recently been exposed to the Blind Boys of Alabama. They're a Grammy Award-winning gospel group who first sang together in 1939 when they were 9 years old. They had met singing in a chorus at the Alabama Institute for the Negro Blind. They dropped out of that school as teenagers and have been touring and recording for over 7 decades. I thought and continue to think that they are fabulous, and I wanted to share my enthusiasm for them with the residents. So I played for them a much beloved and meaningful song for many, Amazing Grace. I want to play an excerpt from you. We're going to see if this works, I hope. I'll let you look it up. You can listen to the rest of it later. Now, you probably caught that that sounds nothing like what you know as Amazing Grace. It is sung to the hoon of the House of the Rising Sun. That's right. I played the song. The residents listened politely. And when it was over, one of the women said to me, "That's nice, dear, but don't ever play that again." Music is important to us. Psalm 100 is a song of thanksgiving and praise. Make a joyful noise, all of the earth. Everything is called to praise God and to lift up a joyful noise. We do this in order to get a proper perspective. Verse 3 reads, "Know that the Lord is God. It is God that made us, and we belong to God." That verse can also be read or translated in this way: "Know that the Lord is God and not we ourselves." We are not God. We are the people of God. We are made in God's image. We are God's people and the sheep of God's pasture, but we are not God. Perhaps it seems like an obvious point, but how often do we forget? How often do we forget that we're part of something larger, all of creation, all made from a loving creator? But sometimes we act like we are the authors and creators of our own salvation and world, that we're fully in control, except that we aren't. Know that the Lord is God. It is God that made us and not we ourselves. This reminder is not put in song, however, because God is some megalomaniac in the sky needing attention. Our Creator is not a God with a narcissistic personality disorder. We do not praise God for God's personal sake. but for the sake of God's mission and to proclaim God's love and glory. John Calvin, the other great reformer of the church and the ancestor of the Presbyterian faith, has said, "The whole world is a theater for the display of the divine goodness, wisdom, justice, and power. But the church is the orchestra, as it were, the most conspicuous part of it, and the nearer the approaches are that God makes to us, the more intimate and condescending the communication of God's benefits, the more attentively are we called to consider them." In other words, and I always find with Calvin there needs to be in other words, all of creation is a stage in which to demonstrate God's goodness, love, justice, and wisdom. And it's our work together to praise God, to proclaim these gifts from our Creator. In doing this, we give ourselves to God fully, and it's a way to be in relationship with God. In doing this, we also praise God too and with others, and so we give God away to our neighbors as well. Praise is witness to who God is and what God has done in our lives. To extend Calvin's metaphor a bit, as the orchestra, it becomes important that we recognize that we do this together. If you have ever sung in a choir or played in a band or orchestra, you've experienced that moment when the musicians or singers are not listening to one another. That never happens, I'm sure, with our choir. It becomes, though, a cacophony of noise, not a joyful noise. You have to pay attention to the other artists that are singing or playing in praise to make sure that you're in the same key or pitch on the same tempo and that your volume is good. You must follow the director. You must follow the director. All of these things together make us look beyond ourselves. The songs we sing as a congregation teach us what it means to be the church, and they connect us to the church in ways that spoken words cannot easily do. Hymns and songs sung together can remind us that we're not in this alone. We're part of a community of faith, because God calls us to live in community. We're not solos. We're part of a choir, a congregation. There is a moment I will not soon forget, and that also includes the singing of Amazing Grace. This time, it was a much more successful and moving experience. It was in 2015. One day, a young man sat in on a Bible study at Mother Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina. After the Bible study had concluded, he shot and killed 9 people, including the pastor of the church, the Reverend Clementa Pinckney. During the funeral service for Pastor Pinckney, President Barack Obama delivered a eulogy and he spoke of God's grace. And during the eulogy, he began to sing the song, Amazing Grace. And it brought the congregation to its feet and together in song. I think it was one of the most powerful moments of his presidency. Several months after that event, Valerie Jarrett, one of President Obama's closest friends and aides, was interviewed about that and asked about the eulogy. It turns out that the president had told his wife and Valerie Jarrett, who had not read the eulogy beforehand, that he was thinking about singing Amazing Grace instead of just reading the lyrics. Both Michelle Obama and Valerie Jarrett were skeptical and were not enthusiastic about the idea of the president singing. They were worried about it. Jarrett recalls that she asked the president in the helicopter on the way to the service why he wanted to sing. She says the president responded, "I think if I sing, the church will sing with me." The act of singing is a communal event and calls us to something bigger than ourselves. In this instance, out of grief was a shared memory that God's grace is stronger than any evil in the world. It reoriented those gathered and pointed them toward God. Singing gives us a deeper language to express our deepest longings, our greatest joys, our most profound trust in the one who created us and loves us unconditionally. In Colossians, we're instructed, with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God. Psalm 100's call to praise and to make a joyful noise orients us toward God. And in a world when there are so many other things that pull our focus, a reminder to reorient our lives in praise toward God is a powerful reminder. A reminder to reorient to the Lord, whose character is marked by steadfast love, graciousness, and faithfulness, is something that is essential. There have been many studies that show the benefits of expressing gratitude and thankfulness. Expressing gratitude and thanks has real impact on your physical and emotional health. It's been shown to enhance empathy and reduce aggression. It builds self-esteem and increases our mental fortitude. Perhaps some of you have heard of the practice of a gratitude journal. A gratitude journal is a practice where you spend a few moments each day, typically at the end of each day, where you write down a few things for which you are thankful. It might be that there are some days when it's easy to come up with things for which you're grateful. There may be an embarrassment of riches. There may be some days when it's more difficult, however, to recall those things for which you are grateful. But one thing I've heard from folks who use this practice is that the more you do it, the easier it is to find things for which you're thankful, even on the not-so-good days. It's almost as if once you start looking for things to be grateful for, you see them everywhere. Orienting or reorienting our lives toward praise is not about seeing the world in a Pollyanna-ish way or to put on rose-colored glasses, refusing to see pain and anguish in the world. It's not about seeing broken aspects of the world, but it's also about helping us from letting the broken and painful parts of the world from taking over us. It's about gathering the energy and the fortitude to be able to live and move and have our being in a broken and painful world to make it less broken and painful. As one preacher says, making a joyful noise to the Lord when the world around us seems hell-bent on destruction and pain is a countercultural act of defiance. When we can find joy and praise in the face of death and loss and human-caused pain, we turn. We reorient the world toward God. We claim that death will not win. We sing hope to a world despairing, hearing despair. Gratitude and praise is an act of resistance. Psalm 100 calls us to laugh out loud and shout for joy. No matter if, and maybe especially if, nothing about our life or this world seems worth singing about. As people of faith, we are called to be oriented toward praise, hope, and thanksgiving, toward nothing less than amazing grace. So we make a joyful noise, even when we know things are not as they should be, in hope that our work together will give us the strength and will to continue to work towards God's kingdom of justice and righteousness. There's a saying that goes, joy is not the absence of suffering, it is the presence of God. Joy is not the absence of suffering, it is the presence of God. So we reorient ourselves to gratitude, to joy, to thanksgiving, to God, and to grace. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is God that made us, and we belong to God. We are God's people and the sheep of God's pasture. Enter into God's gates with thanksgiving and the courts with praise. Give thanks to God. Bless God's name, for the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever, and God's faithfulness to all generations. Amen.